Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment. Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back. I know I've been gone. I've been traveling the world and traveling the country and from state to state doing missions and some vacation time in there. So I'm glad to be back. Today is our question Tuesday. We have Pastor Carolyn Porter on the phone. So we're going to get to our questions, but let me just say that we're going to continue praying for the people in Texas and the surrounding areas to God to help them and send them strength and encourage them and pray for those who are still struggling to be saved and rescued and for the families who are bereaved and just the whole mess of the whole situation. We're just going to pray for them and keep them in prayer. So, Pastor Porter.
Yes. Amber, I'm here.
Welcome back to you, too. You've been gone for a few weeks.
Thank you.
As well. And I know you've gotten some rest during that time, not quite as much as me. And though I don't think I've gotten that much rest, I just wasn't on the air. I have a week of vacation, but missions is not a time of rest. But I'm glad to be back. Glad to have you back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And so I have quite a few questions for you this week. They've kind of been mounting up, but I have chosen to ask you a few questions. I'm trying to mix and mingle them. So if I haven't answered your questions, you guys go on to oneteachablemoment@gmail.com and email them again. And if I keep seeing them, I'll try to get them asked and get an answer without from Pastor Porter. So let's get to them because I have quite a few. Here's one. How do you separate from bad friends without hurting them or making them think you're stuck up? How can I witness to my friends and still be accepted? That's a twofold question.
Well, Amber, the first portion of the question was how do I separate from
bad friends without hurting them or making them think I'm stuck up.
I think the person that's whomever is initiating this question or having this challenge, male or female, young or old, first thing I would say is stop, look, and listen. Stop keeping company with them if that's what you want to do. Maybe you should pause and really give them a thorough looking over. And then make certain that you consider listening, review, consider what have they been saying, what are they saying, and how it affects you. Okay? Mm-hmm. I think you could suggest to them another way of doing things. Whatever they want to go someplace and you know it's not the place for them to be or you, then you may have to suggest going someplace else, engaging in other activities with them, and to try to encourage them not to do what they want to do, but to do what you're suggesting. Take a new position, a new place, a new idea for your friendship, sake of your friendship. Make alternate plans. Don't always get into what they want. You make an alternate plan or activity. Or if that doesn't work, you may just simply have to refer. You can engage your choice over theirs. You absolutely must. And lastly, if nothing else works, then you can just walk away.
Right.
Okay. But let me just say this too. You have to present your choice to them, because you did say, and not appear to be stuck up or whatever.
Right.
So when
right.
you present your change of plans or your ideas, you do it sweetly. You do it nicely. You do it with enthusiasm. You emphasize that it can be fun. You make new friends, or you want to introduce, or you know, get involved with a newer class of people or church people, you know, a literary group or whatever, something different. And, of course, you must be sincere about what you say, how you present it, and then expressing how you really feel. Okay?
So the second part of that question was she wanted to know how can she witness to her friends and still be accepted in her group of friends?
Very simply, invitation. The Bible said to compel them to come. And that's what you'll have to do. Not just invite them someplace, but to kind of insist. Kind of, I'll pick you up and we can go together. You know, kind of just make it difficult for them to back out. That makes sense.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
Compel them to come. And remember the scripture that says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And I might add, in all of this, we always have to include prayer for your friend, for your family, whomever. Really pray. And then ask them if they'd like for you to pray with them.
Right.
And the greatest witness is the change in your life that they can see.
That's good. Because I know, just making a pinpoint on what you said, ask them if you can pray with them. I know while on missions trip, one thing they try to tell us is don't ask your friend or ask people, can I pray for you?
Yes.
Ask if you can pray with them. Because it makes them feel included, not like what you're doing is so horrible, so I need to pray for you because you're so bad. So that's a good point.
And not only that, not only can I pray with you, you can ask them, is there something to pray about? Or, you know, are you having a struggle or challenge?
Right.
I'd love to, you know, get my prayer group involved or my fellow, kind of include them in.
All right. Inclusive approach.
Yes.
I got that. Cool beats. Okay. So let's move on to the next question that says, here we go. Why is it so hard to be consistent in the Christian life in general?
Firstly, consistency is difficult for young and old, generally, folk in business, churches, sometimes I like to say the only consistent thing a person does are being inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is because there are so many distractions and challenges that causes consistency to be different or to be difficult. It's distractions and focus is not in place and consistently, see the word consistently, practice, it will get away from you. And for young adults, it just seems that it's the nature of the beast during that time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not unusual for children or for young adults to be inconsistent or to not be focused or not to be directed.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
It just, and they are easily, I don't know if it's the hormones if it's just the age that they are or the time of life. But and if they don't harness that, if they don't have a strong parent or a structure in their lives, many times it just follows them right on through to adulthood. And then remember this for certain and for sure. The enemy, the devil, Satan, does not want us to be consistent in our walk with the Lord at all. Right. So he's constantly there trying to throw bubbles and peanuts and balls and anything he can in our path that will distract our attention and take our focus off being consistent in serving the Lord.
And you said that's in young people, so they don't get a pass, but it might be hormones involved. What keeps older people from being consistent?
I said if they don't anchor it down in their youth, it'll follow them right straight through during their maturity.
Uh-huh. So lack of discipline.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So that leads us to the next question. I guess all of these questions are just intertwined and connected. So why does God allow trials and temptations to come into our lives?
I believe, according to the word of the Lord, and somebody wrote the song that says, the trials come to make us strong. And I do believe that trials and temptations come into our lives for a couple of different reasons. Yes, often to make us strong. But sometimes it's because we've allowed ourselves to be, what? Distracted.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've allowed ourselves not to focus on what it is that the Lord has, or whatever our job, we're just on what we need to be focused on, okay? Also, trials and temptations come because of disobedience,
mm-hmm.
because we allow ourselves to be caught up in things we ought not to be caught up in. We know good and well our parents gave us a directive to be home at such and such a time. Our parents said, don't go off this block, which is for the smaller kids, older kids. Don't be hanging around with that crowd. And as soon as she shuts the door or we close the door, we can't wait. And then when the temptation comes to do that which we know better than doing, that which we've been taught against, that we just fall right in it, get caught up in it. So I think there's a couple of reasons causes us to. Also, trials and temptation comes in our lives and it causes us to realize our dependency or the need to have Christ in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
also, let me get another one. Another reason is to bring out of us, to make us realize the worth and the value been put forth for us. That's being developed and processed in us. We've got to go through some things, trials. We've got to go to what's the expression? You take the gold and you put it in the, what's that expression? I can't think of the expression, but you know what I'm saying. You have to temper the gold, or temper the steel. You have to test it to see if it's going to come out good, or to remove the imperfections and the impurities. So, like I said initially, there's a lot of reasons why we have trials and temptations. But in the end, when we fall on our knees and call on the Lord, He sees us through and causes us to be matured and brought into perfection.
Okay. I was going to try to recap for you. You gave so many examples, I didn't jot them all down. So I guess I'll have to replay this and hear the reasons why or attempt it. I know you said to make us strong,
yes.
And some of it is disobedience.
Yes.
And some of it is to understand our dependence and our need for God.
Yes.
And the other ones,
because
we're not
focused. Because we are distracted, we allow ourselves to be distracted and or disobedience. We find ourselves into temptations and in different trials. I said that too, dear.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Here's one. I'm going to totally switch conversations into a thing that's a little bit more heavy. So why do Christians share the same statistical rate of divorce as everyone else?
Well, let me see. The reason I have in mind is this. Firstly, many of us, many adults, young people, married, not in love, but because of lust. We think we love, but we really don't. Some marry because they really want to have sex, and they don't want to get pregnant, or they have gotten pregnant, whatever. And so they try to fix it, and they marry. That's one reason. Another reason is that they don't seek godly counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised how many born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking saints marry and don't go through premarital counseling. So they really, really can get acquainted with themselves. They don't even know who they are, let alone are they prepared to know and live correctly and properly how to treat and respect and honor a mate. So when these things are not in place, it certainly can cause, and it doesn't matter. A lot of people in the Christendom get divorced, and they'll tell you afterwards, I wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. I wasn't matured. They didn't know how to manage their emotions. They didn't know how to manage their finances. They didn't know how to take care of their spousalness and their spousal responsibilities. And the same reasons that they have are the same reasons that non-Christians or those who are not committed to Christ. So consequently, the results are the same. It doesn't matter. The statistics are the same. Well, 50%, almost 50% chance. It's probably less than that to make a marriage successful. And don't, for God's sake, don't leave out. They do, leave God out of the equation.
So I'll veer off a little bit since you're talking about that. So I believe, it's obvious that you are one who would advocate for premarital counseling.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell me this. From what you just stated, what would you say to those who say, well, we're going to do this anyway because God told us, or God told me that this is my mate. We're going to be fine because God told me. I prayed about this and God said this is the one. What do you say to that?
I think that I'm glad to hear that the Lord told you this. However, there still is preparation. And many times, let me stick this in, the bride is more enthused and interested and involved in getting everything for this grand final, the epitome of a wedding. All her effort and her energy and getting the bridesmaids and everybody and the invitation, her focus is more on the wedding than the marriage.
Right.
And very often I've heard the groom is voicing can get mad so he can get to the marriage bed. So he could ride along with the preparer, whatever she wanted to have, and give it to her. Let's get it. Yeah, you want that? Yeah. And they don't and haven't counted up the cost and haven't done the preparation. Marriage is work. Many times they haven't done. You say, what kind of preparation? Like I said, and even in counseling, even if you just counsel with your parents, sit down, can you balance a checkbook? Do you really know what she likes? Do you know her favorite colors? Do you know what makes her laugh? Not just you being silly, but do you know the woman, the young woman? She's a little girl. She's 18 years old, just 20 years old. Are you prepared, or have you prepared yourself, talked about it, and planned and looked forward to where God is, since you said God told you to do this, did you two get your heads together and see where is God leading and directing? Is she the capable pairing herself to go where God is going to take you, Mr. Reverend, or vice versa? Can you handle where God's going to take her? You follow what I'm saying? There's a lot more that God said, oh, yeah, but there still is preparation and planning, whether it's education, you know, a seminary, or just going to tech school. Can you handle the business? Can you handle the business? Oh, Lord.
So I want to know, would you, speaking to a couple, young, old, either way, would you suggest going to a Christian counselor versus one who is not? And I'll tell you why.
I would suggest it so good.
Okay, I just wondered this myself, because sometimes when you go to the Christian therapist or, you know, counselor, they deal with a lot of the spiritual issues, which, yes, is good. But then, you know, those other issues that once you leave the church and you're home and those things you need to address and how you talk to each other and division of labor within the house and who's going to, those issues, I don't want to hear necessarily, you know, constantly. Well, I mean, I want to hear it, but I want to hear other than what God has. I think I would need him to hear it. Listen.
My answer to that is certainly a counselor that's qualified and that's prepared academically. And the other thing I was going to say, if your marriage, I mean, again, preparation, stop and think about what you are really, who you're marrying, what you're. If you're marrying, or if you have two adults that are educated, highly educated, you know, they love the Lord, they serve the Lord, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But you need to speak to someone, take counsel with someone who's going to speak to you on the level you are. That I was going to stick that in there. If you've only graduated sixth grade and had your little cap and gown when you were eight, seven, okay. Good for you. You need someone that can speak to you on the level where you are. Maybe pure in heart. But if someone has gotten their doctorate degree and, you know, and two or three doctors, you need to have someone who can speak intelligently to a person's mindset that's a little more elevated than the sixth grade graduate.
All right.
Okay. And yet can give, because there are principles that apply whether you're young or old, Christian or non-Christian. And that's what you're saying to me, asking. Right.
No, but I was saying, for example, you know, the husband is let's just say, I don't want to pick anybody, but let's just say he's a musician, so that's where he gets most of his money, working as a musician at church or whatever, or choirs or whatever. And so when you go to, maybe if you were to go to a Christian counselor and you're talking about living by faith, and the wife is, or fiance is saying, I think he needs to get a job, I think he needs more, whatever, and the Christian counselor could understand that and identify, whereas in my opinion, I could certainly be wrong, the therapist or counselor who has not identified Christian or otherwise would be looking and be more practical outside of the living by faith. Okay, yeah, I got that. But they might go along with, well, how are you going to provide for your family and take the whole faith piece out of it? And I think, and maybe the fiance may need to hear that.
Absolutely. And again, I said, remember, I said, you need to choose someone who's going to speak to you or him where you are, you know. And if the mindset of the musician or the mindset of the drummer or the mindset of the preacher, some of these young preachers don't want to get jobs. They want to live by faith or live by the ministry.
Yeah.
And have the wife starve, and they got to run down to the Salvation Army, you know, to get food and clothes. And that's true. So you really, again, you need to be cautious and careful. I think I said that when you choose the person who's going to give you, if the person that's going to give you your godly counsel is living in a 2-story bean can, and you already have yourself a 6-bedroom house, you follow what I'm saying? I think you need to choose someone who's going to speak more on your level and your position in life.
Okay. This is a very serious topic, but you're quite descriptive. A 2-story bean can. Okay.
That's right. That's right. Which means he doesn't have very much himself. He's living, you know, by the ministry. Mind you, I'm not saying by faith. Say he's living by the ministry, and he only has 2 or 3 members or 4 or 5. He can hardly make it himself, or she can hardly make it themselves. You know, no. You need someone who, oh, gosh, time's up. You need to have someone that can speak to you where you are and where you're trying to get to.
Okay, so. You advocate for it. Now I would say see both of them. If you can, most insurances will pay for, well, I don't know, my insurance does, but will pay for counseling. So you would advise to see a spiritual counselor and or one who is not identified their
qualified.
There you go.
Qualified.
Well, we only have a few seconds left, and so I still have a whole page full of questions, and we'll get to those questions next month. We try to do questions on the last Thursday of every month. Thank you, Pastor Porter, for being with us again, and we'll pick up with your Mama Says next week. And
thank you for having me, and God bless you.
Sure.
Hope my answers helped.
Yeah, hope your answers help. You know, give us some remarks. Reply back the number one, teachablemoments@gmail.com. And you can send it on Facebook as well on the Teachable Moments. Until next week, be kind to each other. Pray for Texas and all of those who are involved. And we'll talk next week. Find your moment. Good night.
Good night.